Good afternoon. It is 12:48, August 10th, 2023. This is a work session on Otter Tail Power's case for the Laverne Wind Farm, and it is case number PU-23-176. If I didn't say it, this is a work session. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchek. And I don't have any opening comments. Sherry, do you?
No, I do not.
And this is siting as opposed to public utilities, right?
Yes.
Okay, so then it's your portfolio. Julie, I'll just turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that. I think that this work session will hopefully be fairly short, but as you guys recall from our last informal on this subject and on this case, we have an issue with a SHPO and their requirements for studies for objects that are 400 feet or higher. And because the repower triggers these towers into that category, there was a request by SHPO of the companies to do additional studies, a 2-mile study versus a 1-mile study of the perimeter for existing architectural resources and so historical architectural resources. So anyway, you heard the rationale from the SHPO folks who came to the informal and provided their reasoning, and also I thought gave some pretty good examples of mitigation that they might require if in the somewhat unlikely scenario that there are some historical architectural resources of value that need to be addressed. So I personally think that we should be supporting what the SHPO requires. I don't feel like I have the background in that area of expertise to supplant their expertise, and generally do think it's important that we try to accommodate the requests of state agencies when it's reasonable and not excessive. And then thirdly, I think the collective impact of the wind development is something that we ought to be keeping in mind. And I think requests like this to just go the extra mile, literally.
You've been waiting for that for two weeks, haven't you?
No, I wish I had, but it just popped in. I was like, oh, it is an extra mile. How handy. To go the extra mile over time, I think, is going to serve our citizens well. So I am supportive of what the SHPO is asking. But we're here because you guys wanted a little bit of time after that informal to think about it. I think that was a good idea to take that time. And so now, I guess, today, the only matter before us is what you guys think about that. And if you want staff to provide any thoughts or ideas, certainly we can open up for them, but I'll just leave it up to you guys to see if you have a decision yourself, or you have questions for staff or me. We're ready.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought it was a good informal hearing that we had, and I really applaud the state Historical Society for being here and bringing forth the information and the detailed information. There was a request, and we received this from Bryce regarding the cost, and they asked some very good questions moving forward because of the impact this is going to have on not only of that siting case but other ones. And I think the memo was very good. And their last statement is very conforming, that they're agreeable to whatever we decide to do. But I'm going to end on my comment that we do reach out to the agencies in cases and we do rely on them. We do read them. We take into consideration what they are requesting, and I think this is a reasonable request. So where I stand right now, I would support doing that additional survey.
Going the extra mile?
I was going to say it, Julie, but I wanted it to be your tagline.
How about you, Ren?
I've been bouncing back and forth on this, and I think the key word is whether it's reasonable. Mm-hmm. I mean, if these were 4 feet, I don't know about 3 feet. I don't know what happens if it was exactly 400 where that line is. But if it was 4 feet shorter, it's safe. Probably over $200,000. So is that reasonable? And had you suggested as portfolio holder the other way, I'd be making kind of the contrary points because I've just been bouncing back and forth in my mind. The flip side of that is if we ignore the 400-foot requirement because it's only 403, as I was visiting with Robert, I said, okay, then what would we do if it's 409 or 19? And wherever you start saying yes, I'm going to start cutting the back. And I don't know how we really flex on it either unless there's something really dramatic. And it's not like we're talking about millions and millions of dollars. And depending on what's out there, it might be a really important archaeological resource too. I mean, some of them, these kinds of findings they make, sometimes, yeah, there's something there, but it's not really all that much. But it could be something really important, too. So I'd have a hard time really disagreeing with your recommendation either.
Yeah, good. Thank you. The other thing I think is important to keep in mind is wind turbines are not going to be getting smaller anytime soon. And so I think that this, you know, The threshold is probably appropriate. It's probably going to be needed or exceeded, I guess, pretty regularly moving forward on both the repowers and just initial cases as well. And unlike other things that we cite, like pipelines, which go in the ground and then you don't see them anymore, these are going to be visible forever. And so I think it's important for us to just take into consideration all of those impacts during the siting as we're kind of required by the law to do. And collectively, as the wind industry goes in our state, it's going to become more and more evident. So I think it's important that we have the various agencies doing their due diligence to identify any potential impacts and minimize them. So
I do want to ask some questions on some other things that I'm not 100% positive on.
Sure.
Just before there's order and all of a sudden then we are in disagreement about some other details that are just mentioned. So we're talking here about the area of land from 1 mile out to 2 miles out.
In this case,
understanding from the turbine to 1 mile out, they're kind of grandfathered in, right?
Based on the previous
sighting?
They were on the previous sighting, but those cases will, I think this will set a precedent for those cases where they'll have to do the whole sighting, won't they?
For new cases, well, that really picks up.
I think some of these don't have that original studies.
For this particular one, that the survey has been done to.
Yep, for the first mile. Yep.
Right, that one had been, but maybe like Ashtabula, which is 90K, I think that might have been a grandfathered in one that didn't do the first mile, and so that one is probably the full 2 miles.
It is possible. I don't recall that one off the top of my head if it had that originally, but most of them would have that first mile done.
Oh, they were done already once.
The first mile.
Okay.
But the extra mile.
But on the oldest one, where if it wasn't done before,
they will have to do it?
Okay. Correct.
And then the archaeological survey, that's just 1 mile regardless of the height?
No.
But for the archaeological, yeah.
Yes. This is architecture.
Okay.
Right.
And,
right.
okay. So that's good
other issues.
I would think before we leave this, there were, and Rob said, if I understood you right, one of these may have been resolved with a waiver, but there had been five residences that were going to be over 45 decibels, and they had two waivers. Now, maybe that's three by now. And my understanding was that they said that this approval would be based on the assumption that any that they don't get the waivers for, they will install the noise reduction equipment, and that will get them under the 45. Is that how you guys understood that?
Yes.
Okay. And then they also wanted
us to... We did talk about that at the informal.
And they also want us to eliminate the megawatt limitation, which we've done in some previous orders, and I'm fine with.
The waivers, that's kind of the standard way we would write an order. So if the issue isn't at finality, but the company is willing to take the appropriate steps, we would include some language that says either the company will obtain a waiver or will otherwise stay in compliance. So either they would have to put on noise reduction trailing edge technology or not repower that turbine or, you know, essentially not violate that particular exclusion or avoidance area, whichever it happens to be.
And they confirmed at the hearing, at the informal, that the affidavit information that stated that they have done the studies of those sites and confirmed that they can comply with the sound requirement at the three residences where they don't have waivers with that noise reducing technology.
And then my last other thing, on the two that are too close to non-participating property lines, we're going to have this such that if they don't get waivers from those non-participating landowners, they won't upgrade those two, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And they also, in their affidavit, said that they commissioned grant a variance conditioned upon submission of those waivers. They won't upgrade it. So.
And I think technically we wouldn't necessarily have to call it a variance. It would be, we would address it, but we wouldn't have to call it a variance. I know they asked for that, but
right.
We don't refer to that as a variance per
right.
se.
Okay. Okay. Randy, did you have anything else?
I do not.
Okay.
Can I ask a procedural question? Just for a second. So if it sounds like there's consensus among us that to do the study and all that, would that be, we could issue an order and say with the study being contingent and complete that they can't start the upgrade, or do we wait until...
No, we will ensure the order says the study must be completed and SHPO concurrence must be obtained prior to the start of construction of the repower.
Prior to the start. Okay. Fine.
And then just to further state on in terms of process, Rob and I discussed, so we're going to have an order on the next meeting next week. So he'll finish up. The order is pretty much ready. He's just going to fine-tune the language regarding this issue. And it'll be in our packets for next week so we can get this done. Well, it's all fresh in our head. And, they'll have to do the study before they can move forward on the repower. But
yep. And I know this is just for this one case, this work session, but I think the indication that we would give back to the company is the commission would like them to do all of those cases.
The four. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yes. They should hear that from our work session today.
Yeah.
Because you can't put that in the order.
Correct. We would not put that in this order. Right. But you know, they're likely listening. Even if they're not, Rob can send a response back to Bryce and say the indication was they want these completed for all four.
And then to that point, however we make this clear in our guidance to other companies, when it comes to repowering, we should be doing that as well. If we have specific written guidance for them or requirements for repowers.
We don't have specific requirements drafted anywhere for repowers. I mean, You know, because quite honestly, summary powers don't even require this formal of a process. They can just file a certification and away they go. If there's no megawatt limitation on the original order and there's no changing impacts.
But this would change, this would be a requirement they have to do if they exceed that 400-foot thing.
Right. And so,
but so how do we let them know that?
They generally have been speaking to us before they do those kind of things, so we'll have those discussions with them. So as an example, so one of these three cases is actually technically a certification rather than a siting application. However, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing for it because we want to make sure we review those impacts so that they don't need that megawatt limitation removed. That's already not included with that order, but the impacts could potentially change, and that's what we want to review.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw this out there from an educational standpoint, referencing what Julie says, is we know that they have the guidelines out there, and we work with the wind farms and all that. Why wouldn't it? I think it would be good on our half that you just send an email to the wind farm saying that this is it, attach the guidelines, and it's just an educational component so they're aware of it.
Sure.
And what guidelines are you talking about?
The guidelines that the Historical Society, their guidelines.
Oh, their guidelines.
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't suggesting that, and I don't think we should be sending out stuff for the agencies themselves.
You don't have to, but just reference it. That's how it came up. I mean, so there's awareness that we do rely on them for. I'm just saying it's. I'd like to point on education. How are we going to let them know?
I think I'm going to relate this back to an old Alana story from when I first started, and I wanted to have something sent out. And she warned, okay, if you send that out, what about all these other things that could be unknowns? And you didn't say anything about that, so how are we supposed to know? You have been guiding us, so I'm a little reluctant to.
Well, my point
that could
that
be
is
with a lot of agencies. Like, why didn't we send out the guidelines that Dean Fish has?
Well, it's just, I'm not saying the whole packet, it was just information. Now that we know what's our responsibility to educate the people who file an application with us. There's a lot of unknown.
I kind of like what Rick's saying in terms of when they call on a repower, you guys bring this forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just from the standpoint of the lawyers that educated us to say, like, if you miss somebody or you know, then you're in trouble for having done something and not told everybody. So it's a little bit safer to not do that. If we had guidelines of our own that we kept, like, on our website or whatever, I think that would be a place for it. But
certainly,
if we don't have anything on repowers,
we do not. We only have one thing out there on siting, and it is old.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to talk about that, but maybe not. I don't know. But for now, let's get the order and move forward next week. Hopefully there's clarity too. I mean, largely a lot of the local attorneys who are the counsel for a lot of these wind farms, the word gets out to them, so they'll know. But
it does, and even at that, so I mean, it's certainly not every siting case we receive, but on a good chunk of them, they'll reach out to staff ahead of time and say, hey, we're planning on doing something. Can we come and talk about the things we should keep in mind? Brian and I just did one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The companies that care to follow everyone's rules will try to be a little proactive and do things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's their responsibility.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's all from us, I guess, Randy.
Anything else, Sherry?
No.
Okay. Our work session is concluded. Remember, we have the rail group coming in at 1:30. So
I hear some of them gather.